Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Roman Josi of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Eustace Aros of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Rocco Grimaldi of the Nashville Predators.
And you're listening to the Renegades of Puck.
Broadcasting live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. And against all better judgment, this is Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all-skate around the NHL with all the news, highlights, scores, and more.
This is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predators,
and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie.
Welcome to Smashville.
It's time for another Predneck Takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. That's right, Predneck Nation Radio is on the air. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sarnay, leading the Renegades of Puck into the trenches this morning on Nashville Sports Radio. Remember, you can always listen to this radio show 100% for free. WNSR.com is streaming the show everywhere in the universe, and the WNSR app is completely free for you to download in your app store. Just search WNSR or Nashville Sports Radio and take the show with you anywhere you go. Also, 95.9 FM as you're headed down 24 through Smyrna into the borough and beyond to Coffee County. We're on 103.9 Drakesboro, Kentucky. That's beaming us into Clarksville and over to Bowling Green and points beyond. And, of course, the classic 560 AM and 95.9 FM all across Middle Tennessee. Welcome into Predneck Nation Radio. You are in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck. Back-to-backs are awesome for people that are prepared to talk about the topic. Your Nashville Predators start the day in fifth place in the Central Division after six games played. A record of 3-3, that is 500. 6 points in the Central Division, a home record of 3-1. Trouble spot, though, have only scored 15 goals on the season. Tonight, the second of two in this back-to-back set with the Chicago Blackhawks, who have played seven games on the season and who are now 2-3-2, also with 6 points. On the road, the Hawks are 0-3-2, and they have given up 26 goals against. Now, it's a pack in the Central Division. 6 points for Dallas, Florida, Tampa, Nashville, and Chicago. Right now, the Columbus Blue Jackets, after seven games played, sitting atop the division with 7 points. That means the Nashville Predators, with a victory tonight, could find themselves in first place in the Central Division. That is what I call a get-right series against the Chicago Blackhawks. But a lot of work to do. 60-plus minutes in the books. 60 more minutes to go tonight at Bridgestone Arena for the Nashville Predators. Once they wrap up this set tonight with Chicago on national TV at Bridgestone Arena, Saturday in Tampa Bay, also Monday in Tampa Bay, to take on the defending Stanley Cup champion and the class of the Central Division, the Lightning. And then on the 4th and the 5th of February, another back-to-back set against the Florida Panthers. First time we will see Coach Quinville and the Florida Panthers on the schedule this year. And then the Preds come back home on the 8th of February to start another two-game set against Tampa Bay. So handle your business tonight against Chicago, because you're going to be facing the Lightning in four of the next seven games. When you take a look at the season series between these two teams, of course, just last night at Bridgestone Arena, in case you forgot or you're a little groggy this morning and need the reminder, it was a 3-2 victory in overtime for the Nashville Predators. Your captain, Roman Josi, with the game-winning goal in overtime, and Pekka Rinne, in almost a calendar year, gets his first victory, 18 out of 20 in the game. Tonight at Bridgestone Arena on national TV, and then these two teams will meet six more times this season on the 27th and 28th of March in Chicago, the 3rd and the 4th of April back here at Bridgestone Arena, and they'll wrap up the season series the 21st and the 23rd of April at Chicago. Taking a look at the Blackhawks' previous five, of course, it was the 17th of January and a 5-2 loss at Florida. They followed that up with a 5-4 overtime loss at Florida before getting themselves right in the series against Detroit. 4-1 victory and 6-2 victory versus the Red Wings. It really is looking like the Red Wings are probably the worst team in the Central Division, and will probably stay down there near the bottom of the division. Right now, the only reason Carolina's in last place is because they've only played three games on this season. Friday and Sunday versus the Columbus Blue Jackets for this Blackhawks team. When you take a look inside the numbers, the NHL ranks this Chicago power play is hot. 9 out of 21, 42.9% of the season. That is good for second in the NHL. They did convert once last night at Bridgestone Arena. The penalty kill for the Hawks, 20 out of 29 on the season. That means they've given up 9 power play goals against. Only the 20th ranked penalty kill in the league, 75.9%. Goals for 3 per game, that's 13th. Goals against 3.71, that is 28th. Generating 29.9 shots per game and giving up 33.3 shots per game. On the injury report for Chicago, we all know Jonathan Toews not going to be a part of this roster for quite some time, but the COVID list right before Chicago traveled to Nashville, and it definitely had an effect on the Blackhawks last night. DeBrincat and also Boqvist on the defensive side of things, both on the COVID list. When it comes to the Nashville Predators injury report, Lucas Pisa is on injured reserve, and Kelly Yarncroke is listed as day-to-day. The Nashville Predators numbers and ranks, the power play is absolutely abysmal, but we've said that so many times in the past. At least there were some positive signs last night in their opportunities. That's something we'll discuss with the Renegades of Puck throughout this show. 2 out of 24 on the season, though, 8.3%. That's awful. 27th in the NHL, but it's not as bad as the penalty kill, which is only 12 out of 22 on the year. They've given up 10 power play goals against, 54.5%. That is dead last, 31st in the NHL. Goals for 2.5 per game is 23rd in the NHL, but that's up 2 slots from the previous game. Goals against is 3.17. That's good for 22nd in the NHL. That is actually improvement of 3 spots over the NHL ranks from the previous game. And shots for 31.8. Good number right there. 11th in the league. That's up 3 slots from the previous game. And shots against. Now the Predators giving up just 28 per game. That is 12th in the NHL. No games on the division schedule tonight for the Central Division. So the Nashville Predators will have the opportunity to dominate against Chicago on national TV. We go back and we take a look at everything that happened at Bridgestone Arena last night. And we had a little bit of a different look to some of these lines. Forsberg, Johansson, Arvidsson, Granlund, Duchesne, and Cunning. Cousins, Halla, and Sissons, Trennan, Richardson, and Olivier, Yossi and Ellis, Ekholm and Fabro, Borovetsky, and Benning are your defensive pairs, and Pekarinne back in net, getting the opportunity to get this start at home at Bridgestone Arena in the first of back-to-backs against the Chicago Blackhawks. That means you know we'll see UC Soros tonight, but let's first go back and find out how Pekarinne did as long as the Nashville Predators last night. Just 13 seconds into the first period, Dante Fabro's got a shot with Olivier crashing the net, and there's a post-whistle scrum. This is something I've been looking for. I've been waiting for the Preds to go to the net hard, cause a little frustration, and do a little face washing and pushing and shoving. Outstanding sign, 13 seconds into the first period. Good job by Olivier going to the hard areas and crashing that net and making Subban uncomfortable. 2:09 into the first period, Pekarinne gets a save on DeHaan through traffic. You know, we always track Pekarinne's first touch of the game. When it's a good, clean touch, that's usually a very positive indicator moving forward. At least it has been throughout his entire career at the 2:12 mark of the first period. Now, the Nashville Predators were playing good in these first 2 minutes. They were actually looking pretty good out there. But then 2:12, Borovetsky's off to the box, 2 minutes for slashing. On the broadcast, they thought it was kind of a weak call, and I tend to agree with that one. But that doesn't matter because it's still a 2 minute minor, and Strome is converting for the Chicago Blackhawks with his second goal of the season. The Blackhawks lead 1-0. This was an easy rebound finish. As a matter of fact, he wasn't challenged in any way, shape, or form, and that's simply unacceptable. That, when they look at that on the video, they need to clean that up. As a matter of fact, I'll just go ahead and spoiler this one. The Preds would do a better job cleaning that up as this game went along. But this one, 2:12 into the first period, not good. Sixth consecutive game this season, the Nashville Predators are down by a goal in the game. After the power play goal, Chicago just has an absolute dominant shift. Preds unable to get out of the zone, just ran out of gas, and Chicago was having their way, but the Predators were able to bend and not break in this scenario, maintaining a one-goal deficit. 4:54 into the first period. Pekarinne comes up with a huge save on Murphy. Janmark is jamming away. Much better support right here than what we saw on the penalty kill, picking up bodies, picking up sticks, and preventing any further scoring chances. misses at 5:22. Dante Fabro hits the post. That's another post for him this season. Over the next 9-10 minutes, play really starts to even out. We see a lot of play from circle to circle, a lot of neutral zone play, but the Predators are starting to even things out, and that's good because they're not only down by a goal, but they were getting run around a little bit there for a couple of minutes. At 14:08, Hall has got a shot from the slot. That's got to be stopped by Malcolm Subban. At 14:49, Duchesne's rebound chance is stopped by a scrambling Subban. Initial shot got everything started by Matthias Ekholm. Subban really came up with a huge one right here. Barely got the tip of the glove on it, but it counts as a save, and it is a quality save. Matt Duchesne buzzing around the net here in the first period. 18:35, Cunning shot off the rush, trickles just wide. He was able to get it off the side of Subban and got it to trickle just a little bit, but it goes outside the post. Preds, great shift to end the period. Absolute poise, control, traffic, all of it led by Matt Duchesne. If I had the opportunity to bottle up a shift and then bring it out anytime it was needed, it would be this one. I absolutely love the final 90 seconds of this period from the Nashville Predators. They made a statement and they started to run up the shots on goal in a hurry. At the end of the first period, the Preds are down by one, but they are coming on strong, out shooting Chicago 17-8. We hit the second period, 2:04 into the period. Duchesne wrist shot from the circle, goes off the post, and then bounces right to the back of Malcolm Subban. He's able to cover this puck up. At 2:18, comps off to the box, 2 minutes for holding, giving the Nashville Predators an opportunity to work on that power play against a bad penalty kill unit. Matt Duchesne with the step out from the goal line opportunity, unable to convert. Chicago, unfortunately, gets a 2-on-1 shorthanded attempt, and they hit the post. Overall, aside from that 2-on-1 shorthanded opportunity, the power play looked pretty good. The zone entries were good, and they seemed more confident. They had better scoring opportunities than what I've seen in the last couple of games. Nice job right there. How would the Preds follow up this power play? Well, at 4:47, the fourth line's out there again. They got the start in this game. They were looking good every time they were on the ice, and they get the reward as Trennan picks up his first goal of the season. Look, we've been screaming about getting Trennan into the lineup, and it had more to do than just the physical element that he brings to the game. He has skill. He has goal-scoring ability, and his first goal of the season ties this game up at one apiece. Short side wrist shot off of the rush. This was the Nashville Predators' 20th shot on goal, and it was Olivier that got the play going in the neutral zone into the offensive zone, so Trennan could go ahead and put that puck in the net. Absolutely great job by the fourth line of the Nashville Predators. Tie game, second period, 5:17 in. Pekka-Rinne gets another touch, a save on Carlson at 7:14. Ekholm shot redirects on the way to Subban. Duchesne kept the play alive, and at this point in the game, I have to say, there's not any stats, but number 95 is skating and playing like a beast out there on the ice. At 10:38 of the second period, Arvidsson pass hits a skate and sits in the danger area, but it's able to be cleared by the defenseman Murphy. At 11:43, Janmark on the breakaway scores his third goal of the season, giving the Blackhawks back a one-goal lead, 2-1 now. It was Matt Duchesne going for the diagonal cross zone ice pass. Simply didn't put enough on it. Any NHLer, as a matter of fact, at even lower levels than that, you're going to recognize that pass lane and you're going to jump it if it doesn't have the sauce on it. So Duchesne's pass gets jumped by Janmark, who takes it all the way for a breakaway and converts. Preds find themselves down by a goal again at Bridgestone Arena. Really a bad mistake right here by Matt Duchesne. He's a much better player than that. He's a better passer than that. And considering the game he was having, damn it. Just he was having such a strong game at this point. That's a terrible, terrible turnover. Just a bad turnover right there. Preds down by one. Let's work the rest of this thing out. 12:27 of the second period. Pekka-Rinne. Three saves right here on the doorstep. That's the technical of this. But when you see it and how many times you watch it, there's something different to be seen each and every time. First of all, the whole thing gets started when Benning moves the puck towards Rinne to try to get the cover up, but they're not able to do that. The amount of sticks, the amount of skates, the amount of bodies that were all around the top of the crease, everybody hacking, whacking, jamming, holding, jamming again, doing everything they can. Pekka-Rinne comes up with three total saves on this one, and it is an incredibly athletic moment and experience, and these are the types of saves that make season-ending highlight reels. Pekka-Rinne's final save comes with a desperation spinning blocker save, and somehow, instead of punching the puck right back out into traffic, he knocks it down to himself and covers the puck calmly for a whistle. This sequence has already been shown thousands of times on television and on the internet since last night. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you, please, spend some time looking at this video. So Pekka-Rinne keeps this game at one goal spread, 2-1. This is a highly important moment for the Nashville Predators. Soderberg takes the penalty 2 minutes for hooking at 14:10 of the second period. Then Cunnan picks up a 2-minute penalty for hooking while the Preds are on the power play. That leads to a 4-on-4 for 45 seconds. Granlund gets a good scoring chance during the 4-on-4 before it flips over to Chicago's power play for 1:15. It's at this point we see Halla having a really strong penalty kill shift. It started when he carried the puck into the offensive zone, took it behind the net, and killed off a little bit of time, and it continued as he was a disturbance in the passing lanes, in the shooting lanes, and just about everywhere. He stayed out there the entire PK and deserves the stick taps for the effort right here, especially considering how poor the Predators' penalty kill has been this season. 18:51, Pekka-Rinne does come up with a save on Pugh Suter. We hit the end of the second period. Preds down by one, out shooting Chicago 25-15. We hit the third period, and 4:09 into the third, Malcolm Subban has a save on Ellis. Really good shift for the Nashville Predators. They are starting to get buzzing again. 6:11 of the third period, Pekka-Rinne comes up with a save on Comp. At 8:30 of the third period, Mitchell picks up a penalty 2 minutes for tripping on Duchesne. Matt Duchesne again having a stellar hockey game out there, just not getting the results to convert. Multiple setup and shots by Forsberg from the right circle. Duchesne attempts the step-out move from the goal line again. Yossi ends up with a one-timer, and overall the Nashville Predators would generate some good scoring chances on this one, but unable to convert. After the power play is over at 11:06, Mikael Granlund, though, is able to tie the game up at 2 apiece with his second goal of the season. It was a wrist shot from the left circle. Cousins, a great job with the feet. As a matter of fact, let's rewind this play back. Mattias Ekholm moves the puck down the wall. Cousins takes it down below the goal line, and then a sweet pass out to Granlund, who finishes. Mikael Granlund was having one hell of a hockey game as well as Matt Duchesne in this one. We've got a tie hockey game and only a few minutes to go in this one. 11:46. Of the third period, we see Shaw go off to the box 2 minutes for cross-checking. Cousins, excellent job right here of baiting Shaw into taking a bad cross-checking penalty in between the benches, not even anywhere near the play. Unfortunately for the Nashville Predators on this power play, they're not able to generate much of anything. Zero shots on goal, and just did not look very good in this 2 minute spurt. The 17:41 mark, third period, Pekka-Rinne comes up with a save on Duncan Keith. Good D support on the traffic in front, allowing Pekka-Rinne to not only see the puck, but nobody was able to get in close if there was going to be a rebound. We do hit the end of regulation. Each team's picked up a point. The Preds out shooting Chicago 37-19. First overtime game of the season for the Nashville Predators. So, of course, we start the 3-on-3, and 53 seconds into the overtime, Pekka-Rinne has to come up with a big save on Janmark at 1:57 of overtime. It is your captain, Roman Josi, putting an end to this game with his first goal of the season. A simply incredible effort by the Nashville Predators on this one. And I don't like to use references to other sports, but totally honest, this play looked like a Ryan Tannehill handoff to Derrick Henry as Roman Josi swooped in from the blue line, took the drop pass, the little short touch pass from Granlund, who was doing hard work out there in this 3-on-3, and drives the net incredibly hard, goes between the D and the goal, and then beats Malcolm Subban to the far post on the forehand. Roman Josi drives hard, pays the price, scores the goal, wins the game. That is the type of effort you expect out of your captain. Big players making big plays in big moments. Absolutely outstanding job right there by Roman Josi to put this thing away. And Mikael Granlund, absolutely a hell of a hockey game last night. Not only was he all over the place during this game, but if you were watching that broadcast last night and you saw when they went to overtime, when they took that TV timeout, Mikael Granlund was sitting on that bench staring directly into the camera like, let's go, boys. Let's do this. And then he went out there and he did it. Mykael Granlund so far, only three games played on the season. He is looking like he's picking up right where he left off last year with his Nashville Predators, and that is absolutely an outstanding sign. I can't wait to see what he does tonight against the Chicago Blackhawks. Matt Duchene had a hell of a hockey game. We'll talk about that with the Renegades of Puck. Just didn't have the numbers in the box score at the end of the night, but his eye test, the numbers, the analytics, the overall performance, all of that, adding up to Matt Duchene getting ready to have a huge breakout. And I don't make a lot of predictions. I do analysis and I give opinions. But I think Matt Duchene is about to break out. And I think it's going to happen tonight against the Chicago Blackhawks in the second of back-to-back games between the division rivals, the Nashville Predators, and the Chicago Blackhawks. Sean C. Smith will be in the third period. Mastrodamas the second period. Brian Bastion will have one big stat for us. And you know, if all the Renegades of Puck are in the trenches this morning, that means it's time to get hyped with Ulti.
So it wasn't pretty, Predaholics, but we did what we had to do, and we fought and we scrapped and we clawed our way back. And we got the W. 2 points is 2 points. And in this type of race, every point you can get matters. Every point you can get counts. And it's going to be important in the long run. We gave one up to Chicago, but we took the extra point. We did what we had to do. And yes, I am not going to sit here and blow smoke up your tailpipe and tell you that that was a wonderful game and we did everything right, because Lord knows we did not. But we did what we do best, and we fought and we clawed and we scrapped, and we did not give up. We did not give up and run with our tails between our legs when yet again we let in another special teams goal and came up dry on our end. We fought. The goals are there. They will be there. We will find them and they will come back to us. There is a lot of work that this team needs to have done and needs to get back to doing. But we will rise. We have shown time and time again, especially this season, that a one-goal deficit or a two-goal deficit is nothing to be afraid of, because this team will fight. This team does have a hunger. This team has its problems. We will fix them. We will get up. We will strap them on. We will lace them tight. We will go step by step into that arena. We will fight in front of our fans and defend the stone again. I am still hungry. That win left me even hungrier, and I want this team to feed me more.
I'm Pekarinne of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
You're damn right you are. You're in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck. I am your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonny. Remember, you can always follow the show at Renegades of Puck, or you can follow at Nash Sports Radio. We would appreciate you supporting this radio station, as they have supported hockey coverage on the mainstream, in the radio, in this market for over 20 years now. And this show in particular, they've supported us for 10 years. They also Slapshot Radio, Hockey Buzz Radio. You can go all the way back to all of those programs. Nashville Sports Radio has always been a huge supporter of hockey coverage here in Nashville and in total. So appreciate you following Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.com. Of course, streaming the show completely for free in the WNSR app, also free for you to download. Jump in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck, live at 5 on game days, just like today. We love coming in here, especially on back-to-backs and bringing the jam. Nobody better to talk to, especially what we saw last night out of Pekka-Rinne. Then, the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation. He's a man so far in the future. He's going to tell you everything that's going to happen tonight at Bridgestone Arena between the Nashville Predators and the Chicago Blackhawks. You can find him on Twitter, at GreekGoalie35. He is, of course, Mastrodamas. How you doing today, my friend?
Charlie, doing well. Feel a little bit more at ease after last night's victory.
Yeah, I'm in a much better mood. 2 points always cures a lot of things. It wasn't perfect. There's a lot to work on, but that's the type of night you can build off of, and we certainly saw some positive signs from this Nashville Predators team. And let's go right to net. Pekka-Rinne last night, 18 out of 20. That sounds like a really light night at the rink, my friend, but it was not, including one of the most incredible sequences in this game. Yes, Malcolm Subban also had an incredible sequence that came away with a tip glove save on Duchene, but this sequence by Pekka-Rinne kept the Preds in this. They were down by one at this point. Could have been the end of the game. Three saves, Mosh, but that doesn't even begin to go into it. Take us through this save situation and talk to me about Pekka-Rinne's performance last night against Chicago.
Well, if you forgive me, I got up a little bit later this morning because my spine still hurts after watching that performance last night. Just that one sequence. I mean, you're not supposed to be able to do that as a goaltender, especially somebody at his age as a netminder. But the way he can scramble, and I'll say this, up to that point, I did not like Pecorino's game. Early on, what led to the first power play opportunity, soft call or not, took a shot right up the chest, left the rebound, and Borjevetsky, of course, takes the slashing penalty, leads to a power play goal against. Did like his rebound control early on in the game as well. It seemed like he wasn't really all there. Even the dump in from center ice kind of jumped up on him. That made me a little bit nervous. You saw him make another save where he was kind of standing and looked behind him, didn't know where it was, and got a pretty quick whistle, I thought. But that sequence makes up for absolutely everything else. I mean, the way he can go out like that and sprawl out with the blocker. I mean, first he's diving across, and then he's flailing his blocker on his back, swinging around, and then knocks it down with his blocker, and then has the presence of mind to cover that puck up in that scenario. And I'll say this, technically not very sound, of course, but when Rene is not technically sound, he always can rely on his athleticism, and that right there is the epitome of what Pecorino can do, even when he's not totally sharpened on his game. He can use that big 6'5" frame and the slinky for a spine that he has to make absolutely ridiculous acrobatic saves. And thankfully, at that point as well, that game goes 3-1. We're probably not having the same conversation today.
You rely on your technique until things break down, and then you rely on your skill until that breaks down, and then when all else fails, you go to your athleticism and desperation, and Pecorino is able to check every single one of those boxes, and he did in one single sequence. Mosh, it was incredible to see. I was so happy for Pecorino to get the victory last night on home ice at Bridgestone Arena. That means, of course, we'll get UC Saros tonight against Chicago. We'll get your preview of that before we wrap up the segment. But next, let's talk about Mikael Granlund. 3 games back now with the team. We didn't even expect him back in the lineup last Friday. Thought he looked great on Sunday, picked up his first goal of the season. Last night, he was absolutely everywhere on the ice. At the end of the night, a goal, an assist, 5 shots on net, 19:58 in time on ice. And Mosh, I mentioned it going into the break, that glare and stare, that killer instinct that he was given to the camera as they were going to break, going to OT, I knew Granlund was going to have something to do with that overtime winner and that setup. Talk to me about Mikael Granlund's performance.
He was a man on a mission. I mean, yeah, the stats show it on the score sheet, you know, goal and assist. That was a laser beam of a shot, by the way. That pass, when that came over by Cousins, I'm like, oh, that's not going to go anywhere because the defenseman saw it, got a stick out there to defend it, but did not get it on the tape. And, of course, Granlund just absolutely rips that one past the glove side of Malcolm Subban. So unexpected goal there, even though it was a nice little setup. And then the assist in overtime. It seemed like every time he was on the ice, he had the puck in the offensive zone, whether it was because of his forecheck or he would steal the puck away. And he helped generate so many chances for the Preds and so much offensive zone production. The Preds, thanks to Granlund, in a big part anyway, had almost double the amount of offensive zone time than the Blackhawks did. If that gives you any idea what the presence he brought last night. And the assist to Josi, of course, he sees it coming. Josi was fresh off the bench. He handed it over to him and let Josi do his thing. Of course, with fresh legs out there, 3-on-3. And the part I loved so much about it, and I had to say it, watching Strome and Patrick Kane trying to defend this, Strome is pointing at Roman Josi for Patrick Kane to pick him up for about 3 seconds. And Patrick Kane doesn't pick him up, and Josi just skates right by, and Kane had no chance at that point. So a little salt in the wound for Patrick Kane, but we got to point that out any time that happens.
Oh, Mosh, if I may add another little shake of salt onto this thing, if you rewind that play back a little bit to the beginnings of the rush up the ice, Granlund retrieves the loose puck in the Pred zone, and Kane goes behind him anticipating the drop back to the D, as, of course, we've seen the Predators do many times. And Granlund fakes that pass and then takes off down the ice, starting that entire sequence that then ends up with Kane being late on the D, getting back, and ended up colliding with his own guy. So if you follow Patrick Kane from start to finish on that particular play, when the rush started, he was out of position, made the wrong decision, and was victimized multiple times by Mikael Granlund and then by Roman Josi. So I just want to go ahead and shake a little more onto that one, because I know what you're saying. When you get the opportunity, you take take it. Hey, man, if I read this box score to you, it doesn't look like it's much of anything. There's no goals, no assists, a minus one, four shots on net, 16:58 a time on ice. It doesn't sound like much of anything, but Mosh, I watched 95 last night, and he was a force. He was dominant. He is absolutely snake bit right now, and I have a feeling he's about to break out of this thing. Matt Duchene was playing some good, strong hockey last night. Please tell me what you saw out of his performance.
Well, it seems like Matt Duchene has taken over the role of Philip Forsberg in previous years, where he just seems like he's doing everything right and not getting the production on the stat sheet for it. We talked about Forsberg not being consistent enough throughout his career, and he should be a 40-goal scorer the way he plays. Matt Duchene should have, this season anyway, probably three or four goals very easily. I like his presence when the power play actually does have possession. He does stand off to the side of the net there along the goal line. When Forsberg has that pass, the shooting lane blocked, he has it over to dish off to Duchene to try to take that to the net or possibly cross-crease pass over to Arvidsson on the other side. But I like what I see out of him overall, even without the power play stuff. He's hungry out there. He's battling, and he's generating chances not going in for him. And I get it. People are going to be pissed off. It's like, look, we're paying him enough money where he should be able to capitalize on it. But, again, you watch that game, he's doing everything right, aside from that one pass, of course, and that's what everybody's probably going to point at. But this wasn't a situation where he made one glaring mistake and it cost the team the game, or he didn't do anything else besides that. Like the play-in round when he was offside needlessly and everybody, including us, obviously were infuriated with him, he didn't have a good series. This game, he played brilliantly throughout the game and had one big mistake. So I think it's going to come out. And when it does finally click for him and it finally gets the monkey off his back on the stat sheet, I think it's going to start coming in bunches.
He did make a glaring mistake last night, and it did lead to a goal against, and he knows he has to be better on those passes. You got to put some more sauce on that thing when it's going across the zone. Honestly, you really don't want to be making diagonal cross-zone passes in any league, just especially the NHL. So, yes, we will critique, but overall, the amount of touches and the amount of positive force he was on this game last night, it's hard not to talk about him as having a very, very strong hockey game. Mosh, let's go over to the defensive side of things. Of course, the captain, Roman Josi, there at the end of the game. You've already alluded to a couple of the details of this thing, but let's go through the box score. He ends up with the game-winning overtime goal, his first goal of the season. Defenseman, first goal of the season by a Nashville Predator. Six shots on net by the end of this thing. Also blocked a shot, 26:55 in the first night of back-to-backs, and 4:04 time on ice on the power play. Mostradamus, the captain, came through doing big things last night. I love the way he drove the net hard, paid the price, and finished this thing off. Talk to me about the Nashville Predators captain, Roman Josi.
Yeah, you know, not ideal to have almost 27 minutes of ice time on the front end of back-to-backs, but you know what? He's your captain. You ride him, and as the Preds did last season, they basically rode him the entire season to make the play-in round. So love what I see out of him right now. Wasn't as we've seen him a little bit more passive, I think, in the offensive zone, or try to get jumping up into the play. We've talked about the zone entries on the power play where they're not really giving him the puck. He's kind of playing second fiddle to some of the forwards taking the puck up the ice. But he's your captain. He's the Norris Trophy winner, and he made a Norris Trophy winning play on that game-winning goal in overtime. So he comes on the ice. He knows he has speed coming. Good communication with Granlund, and takes it right to the net. Other situations, or maybe even earlier this season, he may have taken that puck around the net, if he didn't have an angle on it, and circle around looking for somebody else to make a play. But you know what? Captain's good at captain. So he took it strong and got the game-winning goal out of it. A beautiful move, too. I mean, let's not just everything else with the Patrick Kane thing and Granlund playing very well. Let's not underestimate the fact that he just took it strong in that, used his body as a wall, and goes far post on Malcolm Subban, who was pretty much right there, just snuck it in up inside the far post. So beautiful play by Josi, but you know what? That's what captains do, especially in overtime.
Agree with you 100% on that. And just to give credit once again, you take that little handoff pass from Granlund, drive the net hard with speed, pay the price, and you go backhand, forehand, and tuck it in at the far post and beat Malcolm Subban, who had a pretty nice game to that point. That's an impressive play by anybody, especially when it's your leader and your captain. I expect the Nashville Predators, Mosh, are going to come out tonight. They've been behind in all six games this season, and we can beat the storylines of the special teams to death like we already have for the last 2 weeks. I have a feeling tonight, I don't know. You know me. I don't put a lot of predictions out there, but I get feelings sometimes, and I just have this feeling that the Preds tonight are going to have one of those breakout nights, and it's going to be led by Matt Duchene, and the defense corps is going to participate in this one in a big way, especially the captain. Mosh, talk to me about what you expect tonight in the second night of back-to-backs against Chicago. Last night, you get the 2 points, you get out of there in overtime, you take the deep breath after coming back from down twice in the game. Tonight, new opportunity, another get-right game. No Taves, no DeBrincat, no Boquist. The Nashville Predators will have UC Saros in net. Tell me your expectations for tonight. I think I've given you pretty much all my opinion on it.
Well, I think similarly enough, the Preds should be able to dominate time of possession and dominate on the score sheet as far as shots on goal go. And you don't have Taves, you don't have DeBrincat. That's two major, major cogs in the Blackhawks team. So last night, aside from the score going all the way to overtime, it went pretty much as it was what it should have been. The Preds had more talent on their roster. They don't have guys missing out of the lineup that much. You know, you're missing Yarncroke, of course, but that's not a major player on your top two lines like the Blackhawks are missing. So, again, we talked about it net with Chicago. You know, you have Subban and you have Lankinen, who they've pretty much just kind of come out of nowhere and won two of their games this season. So you'll see him tonight, another Finnish goaltender. So a couple of Finns in net tonight for a national televised game. And I have to go back in this for Pekka on a historical way. Pekka Rinne has 360 wins. That's 20th all-time. And you know who doesn't have even 300 wins? The likes of Ken Dryden, Bernie Perron, and Eddie Jockerman. And on top of that, out of goalies with 300 wins, there's just 37 of them, by the way, in history. He's fourth in goals against behind Martin Brodeur, Jacques Plante, Dominic Hasek. He's fourth in save percentage behind Luongo, Lundqvist, and Hasek. He is a Hall of Fame goaltender, bar none, period. Stop. Anybody who thinks he's not a Hall of Famer, look at the numbers that he's put up over his career. He's got a Vezina trophy. He's taken a team to a Stanley Cup final. All the numbers point this guy being a Hall of Famer. I can critique him last night about most of his game except for that one sequence, but this guy is a Hall of Famer, bar none. End of story.
Mastrodamus making the case right there, and you know we've covered Pekka Rinne from his first game all the way through to last night. Now 493 shows into this odyssey that is called Prednik Nation Radio and in being in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck. Mosh, he's going to get a lot more opportunities, a lot of back-to-backs coming. Very near future, there is a back-to-back against the Florida Panthers on the 4th and the 5th. We know we're going to see Pekka Rinne in one of those games Saturday, Monday at Tampa Bay. Tonight, we'll get UC Saros against Chicago. I look forward to talking about these games and more. All things Preds hockey with Mastrodamus. At GreekGoalie35 is how you find him on Twitter, or you can just listen to him in the trenches in the second period of Prednik Nation Radio all season long right here on Nashville Sports Radio. Mosh, appreciate the conversation. Love the jam. And especially strong on the opinion today. Appreciate you, my friend.
Charlie, anytime, let's do it again.
Mastrodamus right there. We'll talk to Sean C. Smith from On the Forecheck coming up in just a moment. And then Brian Bastin will join us for one big stat to wrap up the show. And then we'll get you in and on to your day. It is a Wednesday morning, feeling a lot more like hockey weather out there across the Music City as the Preds will host the Blackhawks second night of back-to-backs. Preds with the 3-2 overtime win last night. Your captain, Roman Josi, with the game-winning goal. We'll talk about that and so much more with Sean C. Smith from On the Forecheck coming up next right here on Prednik Nation Radio. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. You are in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck.
I'm Roman Josi of Nashville Predators. You're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
You're in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck. The captain said it best. From one captain to another, stick taps Roman Josi. That was one hell of a game-winning goal last night in overtime for the Nashville Predators. 3-2 victory over the Chicago Blackhawks, picking up 2 points at home, going 3-3 now on the season. Tonight's results could end up with the Nashville Predators in first place in the Central Division. Here to talk to me about that and all things Nashville Predators hockey from On the Forecheck. He was at the rink last night, and if there was a yeah, you know, to be dropped, he was within earshot. He is, of course, Sean C. Smith from On the Forecheck. You can find him on Twitter at SCSOTF. If you're not following him, you are making a critical mistake. All Renegades should be following at SCSOTF. He has some of the most critical intel that you will receive throughout the day when he's not here on this radio show in the third period each and every episode of Prednik Nation Radio. Sean, I got you all wound up. How you doing this morning, my friend?
I'm great, Charlie. I'm ready to go.
Listen, Duchesne's pass last night, of course, it's brutal. It's getting a lot of talk. You can't make those types of diagonal cross-zone passes, especially as weak as that one was. But, Sean, this is indicative of another issue with the Nashville Predators. The passing in general has not been that strong so far through the first six games. Talk to me about what you're seeing out there on the ice, especially since you were in the rink last night.
Charlie, you're right. It has not been up to snuff, specifically speaking of passing. Cross-ice passes you definitely want to see, but you've got to make sure that they are intentional, that they're going where they're supposed to go, and that the person they're going to is ready for them. You're not seeing that as much as I'd like to, and it seems a little bit strange that for a team with as much skill as this one that they continue to have issues just completing crisp, clean passes. And you mentioned Duchesne's pass, and you're right. It was bad. You can't let that define his whole night. Other than that, he looked great. But that's just indicative of the larger problem. See, a bad pass like that that leads to a breakaway, that can actually hurt you worse than a bad penalty that leads to being on the penalty kill, because at least you have a chance to stop the other team's power play. On a breakaway, you have to hope for a big save or just hope that the other guy misses.
Definitely an issue last night was noticing that. Sean, there's something you've mentioned several times in your articles and on Twitter, and it relates to Coach John Hines. He has a particular way of going about shooting the puck. Tell the Renegades of Puck, what shooting the Hines way means, and give me a little bit of analysis on how that's going through six games.
Okay, so I have had a lot of conversations with Coach Hines about how he wants the team to shoot. Now, Charlie, you and I talked yesterday morning about how he thought guys on the team were trying to be too perfect with their shots. And last night, after the game, he reiterated that he wanted his team to be what he's calling a shoot-first team. Now, shoot-first doesn't necessarily mean you're the guy up in the stands shouting shoot every time someone holds onto the puck for too long. What it means is he wants them to use their shots to break down the other team's coverage. And once you break down that coverage, that allows guys to get in close. And that's when it leads to those high danger scoring chances we've been talking about with redirects, tips, rebounds, things like that. Now, of course, I think a lot of people might see what Victor Arvidsson did last night a couple of times on the breakaway and taking a quick shot from 30 feet out when he was unchallenged by anyone. That doesn't really make sense if you have the ability to get to the net without interference, to get closer and take a shot. Yeah, he did that earlier in the season and it went in, but when a goalie has a clear sight line on that shot coming, he's going to stop it most of the time. So it makes more sense to say, hold on to a little bit longer, get in closer, drive the net, at least allow the rest of the team to get up there closer so you have a chance at a rebound. But you're never going to get a rebound on a puck if it's resting in the goalie's glove.
Yeah, Sean, and when it comes to Arvidsson on the rush on that right side, of course, we've seen him unleash the slapper plenty of times. It has been successful at times, but the goaltenders know it's coming. The other teams know it's coming, and only once have I seen him pull back from that shot and take it around behind the net and go ahead with a wraparound. He was able to convert easily because he caught the goaltender so far out of his crease. Good analysis right there. Arvidsson needs to come up with a better move right there, especially when he has such a clear path to the net. Sean, another topic you and I have talked about exhaustively since the beginning of this season, the youth movement. But the youth movement isn't just Rem Pitlick or Philip Tomasino or Eli Tolvanen. Dante Fabbro is quite a young player and a developing defenseman on this team. And Trenin, also a young player with some upside that we've been screaming about. Trenin gets his first goal last night. Fabbro hits another post last night. So talk about the youth movement, but this time in regards to Trenin and Fabbro.
Yeah, you know, we started off the season throwing around names like Eli Tolvanen and Philip Tomasino, like you mentioned, but we haven't seen them on the ice yet. And I think it would be unwise to declare the youth movement dead and not take into consideration the on-ice performance specifically of Dante Fabbro. He is coming along quite nicely in his development, not only as a defender, but he's also someone who's got a pretty nasty shot. He's hit the post a few times this season, and it's looked good. And hitting the post like that, he's had the goalie beat. And so I think, you know, an inch to the left, an inch to the right, an inch lower, you're going to start seeing those shots that he's taking start showing up as goals instead of just shots off the post. And at the same time, Yakov Trenin had his first goal of the season last night. We have been screaming for him to get in, and I think with him playing on that fourth line with Olivier and Richardson, they're having a pretty good impact when they're on the ice. And Coach Hines has spoken very highly of that line. He likes what he sees out of that line, and I think he feels like they've developed an identity. So I believe you're going to continue seeing them out there on the ice.
Sean, if this team is committed to sticking with the first line, the Jofa line, as we all know the nickname, then that second line might need to see just a little bit of an upgrade. I am very happy with what I saw out of Duchesne and Grantland. Of course, last night they were buzzing all over the place, but they sure could use some support and a third. Who is a potential sniper? Is it Cunning still, or do the Preds need to perhaps finally take a look at Elli Tolvanen? And of course, I throw the name out there as an option always because I can't wait to see what Tomasino can do in the Preds lineup. Who fits well with Granlund and Duchesne to make that second line more complete?
You see, here's the situation, Charlie, is you've got guys like Tolvanen and Tomasino sitting on the taxi squad. And the one thing that both John Hines and David Poile said is they don't want those guys to just sit. And if they're not going to see ice time at the NHL level soon, you're going to see them get moved down to the AHL because their season is starting up here very quickly. So I think, I'm not necessarily saying Cunning's done a bad job, but I think it would be worth taking a game or two to give at least one of those guys a chance at the NHL level to see what they can do on the wing with those two guys. I think, and I know that maybe they're not necessarily the most elite snipers that, you know, we're sitting here waiting on, but I feel like they have some stuff that could contribute, and I'd like to see it before they get sent down to the AHL level.
Sean, before I let you go, take me quickly through something you observed back at training camp, the 2-versus-2 drills, and how it affected that overtime game-winning goal by your captain, Roman Josi.
The 2-versus-2 drills at training camp were really interesting because you saw the team come straight out of the gate, just this very hardcore 2-on-2 action with a shortened sheet of ice where you didn't really have room for error. You had to be good playing up close. And so when the game went into overtime, I thought to myself, you know, this is a situation we haven't seen yet this season, but I feel like I've seen them play this concept out in the 2-on-2s. So seeing that play out the way it did with Josi charging in very quickly, getting up front, having support from the guys, basically causing a lot of chaos out there to where no one could keep up with what he was doing. We saw that in training camp, and I think it was nice to see something that happened at training camp play out so well so quickly the first time we actually saw it out there on the ice. So I think you're seeing a lot of the things that were supposed to be happening from training camp starting to happen on the ice, and I like where this is going.
If there's a yeah you know to be dropped, he's within earshot. From ontheforecheck.com, he is Sean C. Smith. He joins me in the third period of Predneck Nation Radio each and every show, and I look forward to this type of hockey analysis and conversation every time I get the opportunity to jump in the trenches. Sean, appreciate you so much. Have a fantastic day, and I look forward to your breakdown again soon.
Can't wait, Charlie. Thanks a lot.
At SCSOTF, you need to be following that Twitter feed right there. He has the critical intel that you'll need throughout the day. His observations from the rink are absolutely a must read each and every opportunity. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier. We're going to hit the Renegade Analytics desk before we head on out of here. It's Brian Baston from ontheforecheck.com. He is up next right here on Predneck Nation Radio. You are in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck.
I'm Matthias Ekholm of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
There you are. You're in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck right there. Matthias Ekholm bringing us back from break. One assist last night, 5 shots on net. Missed another 2 shots, blocked another shot, skated 1956 in time on ice in the first of back-to-backs against the Chicago Blackhawks. And the play he kept alive last night is what led to the game-tying goal by Mikael Granlund, which allowed the captain to get into OT and score that game winner. Nashville Predators 3-2 victory over division rival Chicago last night at Bridgestone Arena. Tonight, the second of 8 meetings this season between the Predators and the Blackhawks. Normally, I'd kick it over to Brian Baston for one big stat right here. We're having a trouble getting a connection to the Renegade Analytics desk. So what we'll do, we'll let Brian tweet out his one big stat a little bit later this morning, and we will go ahead and pass that along to each and every one of you. For the Nashville Predators, once they wrap up tonight against Chicago, they won't see the Blackhawks again until March 27th and March 28th when they'll make their first trip of the season to Chicago. And for the Preds, on the schedule, Saturday, Tampa Bay, taking off to play down there in Florida for four consecutive games. The first two Saturday, Monday at Tampa, and then the 4th and the 5th of February at the Florida Panthers. First meetings of the season between these teams. Looking forward to seeing how the Nashville Predators can stack up against the Tampa Bay Lightning, of course, the defending Stanley Cup champions, and the class of the Central Division. There's no doubt that the Tampa Bay Lightning are going to be there near first place or dominating first place throughout this entire season. So for the Preds, it's the special teams narrative that we've been talking about for all six games. It's also the getting behind by a goal in all six games to start this season. Those things need to change. Those trends need to start moving in a different direction. I don't know why I feel so strongly about it, but I feel like tonight, after the Preds were able to take that deep breath last night, after getting that victory in overtime, after the captain doing captain-like things, I feel like the Preds are about to bust out. It's just a feeling. We'll go back, we'll review, and I'll critique myself if I'm completely wrong about this, but I feel like Matt Duchene is going to have a breakout night. I feel like the Preds are going to buck some of the trends that they've been in for the first six games of the seasons. Very, very quickly, taking a look at the division, the Columbus Blue Jackets are first in the Central through seven games played. They have 7 points. Then it's the Dallas Stars, the Florida Panthers, the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Nashville Predators, and the Chicago Blackhawks, all with 6 points and falling in that order based on all of the tie-breaking scenarios right now. The weird part is, because of the COVID scenarios we've been dealing with throughout the season already, Tampa has only played 4 games, Florida and Dallas have only played 3, and the Carolina Hurricanes have only played 3. It's pretty wild. It's going to be difficult to give analysis on some of the things this season because of what we're dealing with. Just tonight, Chicago Blackhawks will be going into the lineup without DeBrincat and Boqvist, both on the COVID list. Neither made the trip to Nashville. So the Nashville Predators will have an opportunity to take a depleted Chicago lineup that they wore down last night and run them into the ground and get them out of Nashville after tonight. Looking forward to the Nashville Predators having a true get-right game tonight, picking up those 3rd and 4th points against the Chicago Blackhawks, and then moving on to Tampa for what is no doubt going to be a measuring stick 2-game series for this Nashville Predators team. For each and every one of the Renegades of Puck, Mostradamus, the ultimate Predator, Sean C. Smith, and a missing Brian Baston, but we'll catch up with them later. Stick taps, respect, love to each and every one of you. Thank you so much for supporting us. Operation 493 complete.